I'd like to thank the organizer to have given me the opportunity to come here and present my paper, which is a paper with a colleague of mine, Oreste Napolitano. The case of Italy is quite different from the case of Spain, because Italy has been experiencing a decline from many years, which is not only an economic decline, but I think it's also a cultural and a decline coming from many years ago. However, I didn't hear.
A hair transplant.
Well, in the crisis, I don't know what happened. In Italy, the banking system was not very exposed to financial crisis, but Italy suffered from the crisis indirectly because of the lack of demand and because of the absence of any investment in research and development, of any political direction coming from the left and from the right for development. However, in this paper, I'd like to show two things. The first one is that in Italy, we have economic policy economic policy measures that are completely subordinated to what the EMU said, and therefore. Evaluating empirically what happened from 1998 to 2008, we found that government expenditure had a central role in determining the path of growth, and we also found that monetary policies had real effects on Italian GDP. Therefore, from the evaluation of this experience in Italy in these 10 years, we would like to underline the weakness and the recessive attitudes of the European policy framework, because we have, you all know, no policy, fiscal policy, and centralized monetary policy with the only aim of reducing inflation. The European economic policy framework are based on this theoretical foundation. On the side of monetary policy, we can divide two streams of thought, and first much more coming from the new classical macroeconomics, which is based on timing consistency on the Lucas' proposition that only unanticipated money matters, and that if money grows, we have the stabilizing effects on expectations. We can find also in Europe a second stream of thought, which we call new Keynesian macroeconomics, and often in post-Keynesian literature is also known as new consensus macroeconomics, which says that the efficacy of monetary policy depends on labor credit or goods market imperfection. Therefore, if market would be perfect, monetary policy would not be effective. A second point, if you want to be monetary policy to be effective, says Posen, you have to anchor the price expectations. On the side of fiscal policy, you'll know that there's a consolidated orthodox literature which is based on Barrow, 1974, according to which public expenditure creates expectations of greater future taxation and public debt. Fiscal policy is ineffective because of crowding out effect, of the inflationary effect, and is ineffective also because politicians subordinate decision to consensus mechanism. Solow, in a contribution of 2005, says that this is the only true argument that still remains against fiscal policy, and we in Italy all know very well. These are the fundamentals of EU macroeconomics, the inefficacy of monetary policy, of monetary and fiscal policy, brings to this conclusion. Short period policies are not desirable because of their effects on inflation. Inflation is a monetary phenomenon, and GDP and unemployment fluctuate around their long run equilibrium level. This last one does not depend on active fiscal and monetary policy. These principles represent the theoretical underpinnings of Maastricht Treaty, as post-Keynesian literature says. we all know that this policy framework has a deep limit. The first is that the reference rate, interest rate, is fixed by the central bank. So every kind of interest rate in the market has as a reference value the interest rate fixed by the central bank. So the performance of fiscal and monetary policy depends on what the central bank does. The second point is money is not natural, especially in condition of unemployment. And recently, as a third point, there has been a debate on the pages of the Financial Times about the fact that the GDP is determined by a behavioral equation, as Krugman says, or is determined by an identity, as Cochrane and Farmer says. The fact that the public debt has no wealth effect is very weak. There's no empirical evidence, as I show here. In fact, on the side of monetary policy, even orthodox literature shows that it can be effective. On the side of fiscal policy, even orthodox literature didn't find an unequivocal conclusion about the inefficacy of fiscal policy. We can say that the EMU was built on a contribution of Giavazzi and Pagano, two Italian authors who demonstrated that in Denmark during the 90s there was a successful fiscal retrenchment, and that therefore fiscal retrenchment creates greater GDP. Looking deeply, the result was given by the fact that monetary policy during the fiscal retrenchment devaluated the exchange rate and lowered the interest rates. Therefore, the effect on GDP was a result of monetary and fiscal policy. In our model, evaluating the Italian experience, we use the OLS technique. It's a very simple OLS technique because we think that the simple estimation of the through OLS of an equation allows us to individuate the contribution of each component of aggregate demand to equilibrium income. Usually, on contrary, the orthodox literature uses VAR. VAR is a kind of measure the effect of a shock on the equilibrium value. So you measure after how much time the shock is absorbed by the system. Therefore, it's a, when you use the VAR, the techniques are not natural, I think. When you use the VAR, you implicitly think, are saying implicitly that that an equilibrium value already exists. And so you measure just the effect of a shock. Well, there's just some description. I know I have not very little time. We examined the Italian situation in the period before 1998 and after the 1998. We divided this the period. We simply presented this data from 1992 to 1998 to show that in the first period, Italy gained incredibility, and there were some advantages in joining the EMU, especially on the side of credibility. Credibility is not not in the sense the central bank thinks, it's a European Central Bank sense thinks. You see that the blue line is GDP, the inflation rate declined, and this is the yellow line is the deposit rate the Italian Central Bank sets, and there was also an improvement of public accounts until the 1998. But if you see the situation after joining the EMU from 1998, you see a sharp decline of GDP, and you see the word in Italian, inflation in Italy, and the deficit, continues deteriorate during time, and while the deposit rate, as you see, in this case is the repurchase rate set by the central bank, didn't follow the Italian inflation. This is a kind of an asymmetric effect. We can also individuate two periods. The first one, which there's a positive reaction to the Italian's economy to EMU because of maybe the gain in credibility. But after the 2001 crisis, which whose symbol is the American crisis, after that period, Italy experienced a slowdown of growth and the progressive deterioration of public accounts. Well, this is our simple empirical model through which we try to evaluate the contribution of each component considered alone to aggregate equilibrium income. We evaluated a kind of multiplier of each component. The first thing that we evaluated is the effect on nominal GDP of total expenditure of preceding time. We see that the coefficient is positive and very significant. This is the nominal GDP, one is the nominal index of GDP, and total expenditure is the index of total expenditure. But these positive effects are registered not only in nominal terms, but also in real terms, because, as you see, a bit reduced, also total expenditure, you see government expenditure, had positive effects on GDP. On real index of GDP. If you see jointly the effects of total expenditure and total revenues, both on nominal and real GDP, next slide, we see in both cases that we have a positive effects. The different lags are considered to avoid problem of autocorrelations. In this next table, we evaluate the effect of European Central Bank policy on the GDP value in Italy. We see that coefficient is negative and significant. This is true both for repurchase rate and for Ionia, which is the Euro overnight index average. This is the surprising result that in this 10 years, from 1998 to 2008, public debt did not have a negative effect, but on contrary, the Ricardian equivalence puts upside down. We see that public debt has wealth effect. The comments I've already said, there is a positive relation between government expenditure and GDP. Fiscal policy in Italy influenced the growth both in nominal and real terms. Negative relation between the repurchase rate and real income brings us to conclude that because of the direct proportionality with all other rates in the market, monetary policy had in the years considered a negative effect on GDP. Despite mainstream literature assertion about the Ricardian equivalence and the negative effects of public debt, empirical evidence shows that public debt had same sign effect on real GDP. But we made a second thing. We used the Kalman filter, which is another technique which allowed us to evaluate how the coefficient of fiscal and monetary policy respectively changed through time. And the result is surprising. This table shows that they are both significant. We evaluate the coefficient as an autoregressive process. We evaluate the variation of coefficient through time. And we see that this is the coefficient, how the coefficient of monetary policy changed through time. We see that after a first positive effect, after the monetary policy effect starts to decline, becoming negative in the years from 2003 till now. But what is really interesting that during the crisis, the coefficient of monetary policy becomes zero, because near zero. This testifies the fact that you can lower interest rate to inject money in the market, but if the market doesn't want it, you have a condition of liquidity trap. So you cannot set negative interest rate when you have deflation expectation, and you cannot inject money in the market during crisis. On the other side, in the old period, the behavioral coefficient of fiscal policy is always has been always positive and increasing through time. These are our conclusion. Public expenditure had same sign effects on GDP that did not have negative effects. Monetary policy had real effects. The effects of fiscal policy have been growing through time, while monetary policy reduced its influence on GDP during the crisis. maybe with a kind of sleep, we can generalize the Italian result, because we think that because of the lack of a shared fiscal policy and inflation targeting monetary policy strategy, the economic policy structure in EMU is unable to contrast current economic crisis.
What do you mean contrast? You mean offset?
To sustain aggregate demand. Hardly weakens the existence of monetary union as a whole, because a country like Italy cannot afford on its own shoulder all the weight of the adjustment, and without fiscal policy and with a centralized monetary policy, whose according to my opinion as the main objective of preserving the credibility of the euro. The truth is that I think that the European Monetary Union cannot survive without a political union, because we cannot have a shared fiscal policy without a political union.